Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unofficial Controller Podcast, starring Bobby, just me. It's a solo show. We'll go over what I've been playing, watching, and eating, because it ain't much. Okay. As we all know, I had the surgery for my hernia, so I'm still on salt foods. I think I lost about 28 pounds now, and I am still fat. Well, not really, but you know, I feel good. I have energy. I'm awake. I'm alert. Don't need like multiple cups of coffee a day. The one cup of coffee in the morning is good enough, and I don't even need that. You know, I do it because I love coffee, dude. As you know, if you listen to the show or know me, I'm a coffee snob. So I will not be going to Dunkin' Donuts. I don't even like Starbucks. I like those small little individual coffee shops. I don't know why, I just do. And like a nice macchiato or cappuccino, bro. And if you put ice in that bad boy, listen, I can have iced coffee if it's 2 degrees outside. It could be zero outside. I mean, I don't know if that is in Europe, but you know, you have Google. All right. So it could be cold. I'll have a nice coffee. I do like a hot coffee every now and then. I probably make hot coffee in the morning because it's just easier to make. But today, I went a little fancy. Okay? I put like, I don't know. I don't even know what the measurement is. It's a small little measurement of cinnamon and a little bit of nutmeg with my coffee this morning. And amazing. I think the coffee we got is some, I forgot exactly what it is. The bag is gone. So now it's just in a jar. But I think it's from, I don't know if it's from Starbucks or BJ, at least here in America. I don't know if it's Starbucks or BJ's. There's a Starbucks mix that they make. That's what we bought. It's a dark roast. I know it's a dark roast and I love it. It's delicious. I mean, I've made it cold in the Ninja coffee machine. It's just better hot. Some coffee is better hot and cold, I guess. I'm not sure how they make it, but this is good. Either way, it's good. But today, I went a little saucy, you know, and I got some nutmeg and cinnamon in that bad boy, you know, with sugar and milk, because you need sugar and milk. So that's what I'm drinking right now, because it's early. It's exactly 6:32 on the dot. So, it's early. It's Sunday. Manchester United, you know, what could you say about them? You know, the team is a disaster, not absolute disaster, but I'm not shocked. I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. We have no team. We are in a disarray and we could have won and we didn't. We tied it. That's Manchester. You win, you're winning. And then you could be losing or tied 3 minutes later. So, you know, that's how my yesterday went. But then I went for a 5 mile walk. And I'm like, you know, since I'm limited on eating, what can I eat? So I'm like, oh, I know what I can do. I know what I can eat for like a late lunch, early dinner. There's this El Salvatorian place in Astoria where I live. And I went over there. And they have these things called pupusas. Now, pupusas, it's like a corn. It's almost like, I wouldn't say it's a quesadilla, because it's really not the, it's made with corn, definitely. It's like a, you know, it's a, it looks like a tortilla, but it's a quesadilla, but it's not. It's not. It's, almost like an arepa. Have you ever had that? And you know, but it's similar, right? So it's flat, round like a pancake, and inside they stuff it with, you know, whatever you want. You know, you could do shrimp, steak, chicken, cheese and spinach, whatever. Shrimp, it doesn't matter. But I can't have none of that because I can't chew. It's got to be soft. So this is soft. It's soft. You know, it's lightly fried. And it's not deep fried. It's, you know, pan seared on a pan. So they stuffed it with just cheese and refried beans. That's what I had. That's all I got. My wife had the other one because there's shrimp in it and there's a little bit of steak in it and a little bit of cheese in it. And it's delicious. Either way, they're good. I had all of them and they're cheap. It's like $5. I mean, you can't go wrong. $5 for a meal. It's not bad. So we got two cheese and bean and one, pupusa loca, which is basically like, everything in there. And I had it and it was absolutely delicious. It comes with like, tomato vinaigrette, I guess sauce you could put on top and a little bit of, pickled. Well, I can't have it. Pickled, cabbage, which I cannot do because I can't eat that. But my wife did. Smelling it was enough, and looking at her eat hers and her enjoyment in her face was enough to satisfy me because I just had cheese and bean. Refried bean. Let me tell you something. Delicious. Absolutely delicious. But, I was hungry after 5 miles, so I had to get something. And then there was a little coffee shop that we passed by that I wanted to try, but we went to Starbucks instead because apparently it's double point weekend at Starbucks. And my wife is Mrs. Deal because she will not do anything if there ain't a deal. And she doesn't purchase anything full price. There's always a sale, a coupon, or whatever. Okay. So she's not playing the full price game. If there's a sale, she's gonna find it. She's gonna get it. And that's how it works. Okay. Just yesterday, she bought like, and it's not a three piece suit, but it's pants, a jacket, and a skirt combo. So three items. All right. The jacket was 160. That's how much the jacket was. Just the jacket. She bought all three for 145. I mean, that's almost 65% saving, which is incredible. Jacket was 160. The pants are probably another one something, and the skirt was like, I don't know, $90. She got all three for one. When I said 150, incredible, incredible deal. It's amazing. And I'm the same way now. I have so many games in the backlog that I don't buy things day one. Sometimes I do, but I don't. But I do, but I don't. And if I can wait, I wait. I mean, I have so many games in the backlog. I probably won't play it now anyway. So in a couple of weeks, it'll be on sale. Like most video games go on sale now.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At the Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out the Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
But I'm drinking this coffee, I'm sorry. This shit is delicious. So that was, just random yesterday events. That was a good day. It was a good Saturday. Now today's Sunday. There's more soccer, football being played. I probably watched a few games. I'm not sure what the day holds, but I'll try to catch a game or two. I know after this recording, it's me and my boy Marlon are going to knock out some more Dead Island 2. This game is hilarious. This game is hilarious. You don't know how stupid you look playing a first person game. It's a first person game, right? You're killing zombies, and it's all me. What is it? It's all you attack them with pipes, poles, axes, batons. You could throw ninja stars. You could throw pipe bombs. No guns. So it's not like a Call of Duty type game. So, when you swing at something, what do you hit? You feel like the weight of the weapon when you hit a zombie in the head, or you bust him in a kneecap, or you bust him in the shin, take him down, whatever. Feels good, feels satisfying. Dialogue's hilarious. Action sequences are great. There's just some wild things happening in this game. Doesn't take itself too seriously, which is why it's nice, because, you know, you're playing The Last of Us and you're crying, you know, because you're sad. And now you're playing, you know, Dead Island 2 and you're crying because you're in tears because it's hilarious. I didn't know how stupid you look until I saw Marlon hitting a zombie. He looked like he was doing like the Irish jig, right? Like, or having a, you know, like, I don't know, like a sputz attack. Like, you know, he was like, you know, hitting it. He's swinging it. I'm sure it looks cool when you're playing, but when you're watching your co-op partner hit a zombie, it's just hilarious. It's hilarious. Even the jump mechanics, like they jump up, they look like they're doing a Spider-Man jump. So first person mode, I guess that's made for first person, isn't fully, I guess, developed or well made, since you're not seeing your character anyway. But when you're seeing it, when you're seeing your friend do things, it just looks funny. Okay. There's also another game that I lose Marlon, or he loses me very quickly. If I make a quick left, he is gone. Like, it's very hard to see where your friend is. So, but I tell him, you know, I went down this block, or I wait for him, or the map. Because there's no map on the screen. It's just the top map has like a little radar, north, south, west type thing. Very similar to like Helldivers. That's how you can find your friend if you're there. And I think it's 2-player co-op. I'm only playing with Marlon. So if someone else has it, you know, you could do 3 people, which is pretty fun. Game is definitely easier with 2 people. I mean, if you're smart enough, take your time, kill zombies, even if they're a little bit higher in level than you. You know, you can do it. You just got to be smart. But when there's 2 of you just beating the shit out of a zombie together, it's nothing's more hilarious, bro. I'm sorry. This is hilarious. If your weapon breaks, you could get a new weapon. You could upgrade your weapon. I think there's 8 characters. I'm not really sure the exact number of characters. I obviously picked a female, and I obviously picked a Latina because, you know, that's the kind of guy I am. And Marlon picked a female and a white chick. That's the kind of guy he is. You know, that's our best friends, you know? So it's just hilarious. I think we're in, I don't know how they break it down, but we're in the third section of the game. So we did, I think, Bel Air and the hotel. Or no, Hollywood, the hotel. Now we're in Bel Air. I'm pretty sure that's where I am. So I'm only level 10. So I haven't played a great deal of it, but enough to get to level 10. And obviously, looking through everything to find all the collectibles, just level up your character. Certain things are locked, so you got to find either a fuse box, or there could be, it might say Cable Guy's key needed. So now you got to look for a zombie that says Cable Guy. And you kill him, you get his keys, then you go back. So it's a lot of back and forth, but nothing that's tedious so far. Seems fun. We just beat the boss in the movie studio, which was hilarious. So overall, I'm loving this game. Definitely want to play more. But Helldivers, yes, still tanking over. If no one's online, I'm playing Rise of the Ronin, which I'll get into. But if Marlon's online, or Jin is online, or even the Gaming Gram Instagram, give him a shot, give him a follow. It's the.gaming.gram. We're playing it, having a good time. We all have the platinum. We're just trying to unlock the last ship module, because I just need 2 more. So, you know, it's still fun. Game definitely got harder. I don't care what anybody says. After 200 hours, I know it got harder, because we were doing hell dive missions. We were having a good time with that. Getting all the samples, getting missions done, getting in, getting out. So we didn't try to do everything if you run out of time, because the problem is you have to time manage, right? I think it's 2 minutes and 30 seconds in a hell dive to extract. So it takes, you have to defend the extract zone for 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Now there's different boosters you could use. So I bought the UAV booster. I think it's UAV booster, which is supposed to, increase the amount of time for enemies to come at you. So it's supposed to give you like a little bit of a longer break in action. So you're not getting overwhelmed. Now in Helldive, there's lots of enemies, but we have on the scout armor. There's two lights and one medium. This is supposed to help you be 30%, like incognito or sneaky. You can probably go around most patrols because you don't get points for killing. And nothing frustrates me more than when you're playing with random kids and they're trying to get 290 kills or 6,000 kills. You don't need kills or not give you experience. Doing all the submissions, right? The optional objectives and destroying either all the bug holes or the automaton fabricator buildings give you experience. And obviously time. So the faster you do it, the more bonus points you get. And all extracting together gives you experience, right? Now you can find maybe some, you know, you can find extra money. You can find points of interest. It gives you either super credits or a weapon or maybe even medals, which is, you know, obviously you want to find those, but those are the top things. The optional objectives, which could be, you know, an, SEAF missile. It could be. Terminate the illegal radio broadcast. It could be a radar map where you can find things on the map if you complete the mission. It could be destroy mortar, base or, you know, a stalker hive, you know, XYZ. It doesn't matter. It's, those are optional. You don't have to do them, but if they're in the way and if you plan your route right and you do the things fine. When you're getting overwhelmed and you're staying in the same spot, more enemies come. So we realized it's just time to boogie. Just come back to it. So we run away, go somewhere else, knock it out. The faster you knock it out, the least amount of enemies. Hit it and quit it, you know, and come back to it later. It's, you don't have to stay there. Just run away. And with the outfits we wear, we're 30% more likely to be detected by the enemy. So it's less likely to be detected by the enemy. So we sneak around, do the mission, knock it out. When you are tight on time and trying to extract and you keep getting killed, once the timer hits zero, you can no longer throw a stratagem in, which means you can no longer throw your buddy in. So if you are out of time and your friend dies, you cannot throw him in. Now it's just you. Chance of you surviving, slim to none. And there's no point in surviving if you don't have samples. So, you know, you have to give your samples to your friend and protect that guy. And that is the only guy that really has to get on the ship. Everyone else is bonus at this point. Because like I said, we've achieved everything. I don't even care about experience. Just want samples. I become a sample hoe. And that's fine. But that's what I've become. We've all become that now. So you don't want to spend 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 15 minutes having all the samples collected and everything else, and then no one makes the ship with the samples. So, you know, you try to do it as fast as you can. So obviously, the more time you have and the less time you spend dying, the more time you have to defend. Now, you have to stay within a certain range of the extraction or the timer counts down. You got to do it again. So sometimes, you know, it is what it is, but that's what I'm saying. If you die in extraction, it's okay. We're all here. We'll throw you back in. Plenty of lives, plenty of time. When you're running out of time, that's where things get a little hectic, you know? And then it's like, well, what do you want me to do now? Well, I don't want you to die. And I want to get out of here. And we lost all the samples. So now you completed the mission. You get all your experience. You get no samples. You need the samples. So still, it's just, I don't know. It's still, what's today's date?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand. grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step-by-step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
I don't know what today's date is. It's the 28th of April. Okay, it's April 28th. What was the point of me saying today's date? I don't even know. Oh, that's why. As of April 28th, this is still my game of the year. I don't know what it is. I don't mind playing with two people, three people, or four people. Even doing it solo. Or with random strangers. I cannot get enough of this game. I don't know what it is. It's just so many possibilities of armor, weapons, and stratagems. And then so many possibilities of what your partners bring in to get your objectives done and extract. So I wouldn't say it's endless, because obviously there's a limit to everything, but it's very high on scale. And then you're thinking to yourself, why is this idiot bringing in a flamethrower? Or why is this idiot bringing in this stupid laser gun? Or a mortar or an autocannon? Like, what's the point? Then you watch this guy do things you never thought you could even do with the autocannon, and makes the mission even easier. So then you adapt your gameplay, if you liked what he did, into yours. And then you come up with your own way of playing, you know? Personally, I think the proper way to do it is every level has a certain objective. And every level has better stratagems than others. So you're not limited or locked on to a certain gun or stratagem. If that's the way you like to play, that's also fine. I have a certain way to play. I do two changes, maybe three. Depends on the mission, who we're killing, and what we're doing. But basically, it's three. So I'll try to use a laser, try to use an orbital rail cannon, my quasar gun, and the force field book bag with some scout armor. If I do something that's like blitz heavy or survive heavy, I'll put heavy armor on. I might put down mortars or whatever, because you don't need to go full crazy. You know, if you're doing something wild, like take out X, Y, and Z in a 40-minute mission, and they're large enemies you got to take down, I'll bring a 500K bomb. You know, I'll bring a bunch of stuff like that. So it just depends on what you're doing. But there is no real wrong way to play. So if you're struggling, maybe you have to go down in difficulty, get better weapons, or just plan out what you want to bring in to do the mission. I personally like to use things that are unlimited, because then you keep using them over and over again. Like the laser orbital, great weapon, only three times. And if you're playing a higher difficulty, you will be in a shit show more than three times. So sometimes I bring a 120 or a 380 orbital rocket, because it's unlimited. It clears out what it can, but you know, it's not so bad. 500K bomb, when you know you're having difficulties, especially at higher levels with like loads of bio titans or those new flying machines for the robots, which are just an absolute nightmare. Sometimes you got to bring a 500K bomb and just end it all, you know? So it just depends on what you're doing. Different guns work better than other guns. But also, I've seen people take down robots with a handgun. I mean, the accuracy in the aim, and it must be a computer player. Because, you know, PC gaming with the mouse, your aim is just probably spot on. Whereas you're using a controller, it's a little, you know, fugazi. Yeah, you can change the sensitivity of everything. But too fast makes me dizzy and too slow is ridiculous. So you got to find a balance. But I've seen people, definitely PC players, with that mouse do things you would never be able to do with a controller on your hand. I mean, it's just, it's obviously PC master race, right? So, you know, there's just no wrong way to play it. And I've just been having so much fun with this game. So Helldivers for me, still game of the year. However, it's finally met its match. Okay. I got the platinum number 352 for Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed, which was just they did a great job with this remake. You know, I played this a while ago. A long time ago, my sister Katie was a kid. She was a little kid. We played this together. She liked it because the little alien dude she thought was cute and funny. So, you know, I've always played this. It's like Spyro. It reminds me of her. So, you know, I've got into it because of her. So I played the first one. Remake was great. Second one was great. It's easier this time around. Not as frustrating. The only thing that was aggravating me was the collectibles. They were getting a bit annoying. They're not shown on the map. Now, if you know me, I'm a map guy. If you give me an open world game and you give me objectives and I'm going to it and I see a question mark, southeast, guess where I'm going? Yes, yeah, southeast. You 100% guessed that correctly. And I want to see what that is. And sometimes there's stuff on the map that doesn't have a question mark. I'm like, oh, what's this building? Now, this building might be something for later in the game. Doesn't matter. I'm going over there. That's why sometimes I over-level myself, because I just do everything I can possibly do. And I'm not saying that that's how you play or that's fun to you, but I enjoy it. I love map. I love open world games. I think they're great. You know, Far Cry, same formula. Some are good, some are bad, but I'm not bored. I'll tell you that. Oh, what's this? Take this down. Now I open up, take down a radio tower or broadcast tower, whatever they're called. Open up some of the map. I find stuff I didn't see before. I'm 100% collecting the area. And that's what I do. And I have a good time with it. It's on the map. Just like Assassin's Creed Odyssey. First of all, Assassin's Creed Origins was great. I really enjoyed that game. But Assassin's Creed Odyssey was my favorite. And I did everything in that game. All the DLCs, got the platinum, got everything I can get, all the mysteries uncovered, done. Valhalla, same formula, didn't like it as much. And I love Vikings. Didn't hit me like I thought it would hit me. So, you know, it's not to say that because there's a collectibles on the map, I like the game. I don't. But it's just sometimes how it's done is what I enjoy doing. So I really, really like Rise of the Ronin. So forget about the open map and this and that, whatever. I'm only in the first act, and there's little towns on the first act, and you can't go to the next area of the map because you're not there yet. You got to do some stuff for the story, which I won't spoil. So there's three acts, and in each act, the map of Japan opens up more and more and more. I've completed everything in the first act. Everything's 100%. Relationships with each ally I have. I'm raising the bar, getting things done, collecting things. I found cool weapons. I found cool armor. I look amazing. It took me, I don't know. I put on some podcasts. I put on some music. It took me 2.5 hours to make, in my opinion, two most beautiful Japanese women in the world, because I made them. So that's what it looks like to me. Two of the most beautiful Japanese women you can imagine. There's a character creation thing in the game. Apparently, it's similar to Noah, which I have not played, but I will play immediately after this game because it's very similar to that game, according to my friends. But on Reddit, they have a character creation super catalog and people are making, I mean, they make gin from Ghost of Tsushima. They're making the wolf from Sekiro. They're making characters from the Shogun. They made Keanu Reeves, for God's sakes. I mean, somebody made Sydney Sweeney. I mean, it looks like she was in the game. So you can download them for free. You put the character code in, boom, apply. Now, the first one I kind of cheated. I saw Chun Li. I'm like, oh wow, looks like Chun Li. You put the code in, you play the game. Don't look like Chun Li. I was like, didn't like the character in the game. Rather, when it was in creation mode, if that makes sense, it didn't feel like it fit. So I changed things. You know, I changed the eye structure, the nose structure, the hair, the skin color. You know, I still gave her those thick thighs, baby, because, you know, that's how she did the super kick. So, you know, and I changed the character, you know, maybe less makeup, smaller lips. She looked a little too cartoony, and I guess I made her as realistic as possible. The photo will be up on my Instagram page on the weekend update. You can see it there. You know, just she looks great. And then it was another random one I saw. I don't know. Looked very sensual, serious, but seductive. She's like an assassin in my mind. You know, in my mind, I make up my own thing in my mind. And, you know, I changed basically everything about her. But these two characters basically gave me inspiration. And I changed a lot of it. They don't even look the same of what I downloaded anymore. You know, then you can add tattoos, you can add muscle mass, you can add height. So, I mean, again, it's the possibilities of creating things here are definitely up there. I mean, there's no limit. I mean, it goes, you can even detail to the eye socket. You could detail, you know, the head size, body size, muscle mass, lip, nose, the eyebrow structure. So there's a lot. The detail in the creation is phenomenal. So 2.5 hours of just creating these women. I love them. I think they look great. They look great in game. They look like they belong in the game. And that's what I'm proud of. Also, nothing wrong with the two characters you start out with. They look also great. But I changed them because that's what I did. No, at least in this game, they're not in a mask like I normally play. I take all this time to create my character and I wear a helmet for the whole game. You don't even see my face. You know, this game, you can see your face. There's helmets where you can put on not to see the face, but, you see the face. So, you know, the character creation and think the map, how it's designed, you know, this, you know, people say it's not beautifully like well done, graphics are a little rough. I mean, if you played a Dark Soul game or Sekiro or even obviously Noah, it's a very similar design style, which I think is fine. I mean, what am I waiting? What do you want in a game? Do you want each blade of grass to blow individually? You know, do you want like realistic hair in each game or a piece of cloth that just flaps in the wind because it does in real life? I mean, I think we're getting a little bit too picky with graphics. You know, graphics is not everything. I mean, it helps, but it also doesn't need to be a masterpiece. It doesn't need to be real life. It's a video game. So how much more graphic and, you know, quality do you really need to just enjoy a story and a game? It's gameplay makes the game. This game could have been a point and click action based game with a QTE. I would have not played it because I don't like that kind of game style. You know, this could have been turn based. I would have stayed away from it. I don't like turn based. This is action RPG. That's what I love. Now, for the people out there who love turn-based RPGs, you probably would have loved it if they made it like that, if it's up your alley, right? Gameplay is what really makes a game. So either you like it for the gameplay or you don't. Graphically, it could be like cell shaded. It could look a little bit cartoony. It could look a little bit anime. It could look like realistic, like, you know, like a cyberpunk, I guess, because that look, you know, after all the patches, looks pretty good. It could look like, you know, Far Cry. I mean, it looks, you know, it looks good. I mean, but like even Horizon Zero Dawn, you know, or Demon Souls. I mean, looks are looks. So how they wanted to envision the story and envision what they wanted to tell graphically, it doesn't really bother me. It's the gameplay for me. And the gameplay for this game is great. It's very parry-based. Yeah, you could dodge, of course. But it's parry-based. And playing Sekiro, which was probably, for me, one of the hardest Souls-like games from software, definitely prepared me for this game. Because I'm parrying like a mofo, bro. I'm parrying everything. Soon as I see the enemy character turn red, it's going to be his power move. I just wait. I compose myself. I pretend that I am a Ronin. Okay? And I use my Zen to ping, parry, attack. Attack, 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 attack. Oh, ping, parry. I mean, I have mastered the parry. And what I love about this game is that I forgot how many exact fighting styles are, but you unlock them as you go on and you meet different allies. You unlock different fighting styles. Different fighting styles can either increase or decrease your attack for other enemies you face. You can master them. So the more you kill and the more points you get in a certain fighting style, the more you learn and get better with the fighting style. So for me, I'm just trying out everything. And I think everything works beautifully. Some obviously work better than others because it's designed that way. So if I fight an enemy and this fighting style ain't working, I switch it on the fly. You can switch on the fly. Now you have your other combos and moves to do. It's simplistic, but it could be in great detail. And if you become a parry master, then you're doing things in this game
that are
phenomenal. I have to say. So combat is great. You know, you can, you know, to very like similar to Sekiro, you can grapple on things, go in the sky. You got a Zelda-like flying cape, you know, contraption. You can sail across things. You know, I love cats. You could touch cats in this game, collect cats. You meet other allies. You can upgrade, not upgrade. You can boost your friendship with different characters. Now, there's this whole dynamic of Shogun and anti-Shogun, right? So you're either going to keep Japan how it used to be, like, you know, old school, don't let no Western, like what the Western civilization come in, stay true to Japan, what they are, what they used to be, or you're allowing Western civilization to come in, make deals and treaties and still keep Japan, Japan, but allow foreigners. The other one is Japan's Japan, no foreigners. You don't have to make a decision right away. And you can replay any story you want. So nothing's missable, right? So trophy wise, it doesn't make a difference. You might, obviously, you're going to burn some bridges because you're going to have to pick one down the line. But you don't got to pick one of them till, I believe, Act 3. So I'm doing everything I can for every mission, I guess, you know, as peaceful. If there's a peaceful option, I'll try to pick it. If not, then you're going down. So there is a little bit of, now again, choices matter. So they say. I don't know how true that is. I guess I'll find out later on when I continue the game. So far, so good. Like, this is up there, game of the year for me. If this is definitely going heavy against Helldivers 2, if that says something to you. We're only in April. There's many games left. And I even purchased Project Eve. No, Stellar Blade, Project Eve. Oh my God. Stellar Stellar Eve. That's what it's called? Stellar Blade. Stellar Blade. I purchased Stellar Blade. Very similar to, obviously, a Souls-like, you know, game. I played the demo. I love the demo. Love the combat. Yes, I have to say, the jiggle animations, I'm all for it. I don't care what's the big deal. It is what it is. It's just a game. Now, this game looks better than Rise of the Ronin. It just has an art style that's a little bit more fleshed out, I guess, but still looks good. But again, not knocking Rise of the Ronin, you know. This is the Stellar Blade is also very parry heavy. You know, dodging heavy. You know, and a regular enemy can and will kill you, like just like in Rise of the Ronin. I mean, if you're not paying attention and you're getting surrounded by some enemies, you will get killed. They will take you out. So blocking and dodging is essential. Knowing your combat stance is essential to surviving. I don't know if there's more weapons in Stellar Blade. I think it's just the one weapon, because the demo didn't really give you a lot of weapon options, or they didn't give you anything at all. So I don't know if you unlock them later on in the game. But from what I played, I loved it, and that's a day one purchase. Could I have waited for a sale? Yeah. Am I going to play it tomorrow? No. No, probably not. I'm going to finish Rise of the Ronin and then move on to Stellar Blade. So what was the point of purchasing it day one? I don't know. I just had to get it. I got it on Amazon. It actually came when the game was supposed to be released, because sometimes you order from Amazon and you pre-order it and it comes the day after. This came on the day of. This came exactly 9:12 in the morning. Beautiful. So you can't complain about that. Amazon did their job there. You know, it looks beautiful. The character model, obviously, you know, there was some controversy about why he created something that looks like that, and he just wants something beautiful to look at, and I'm not mad at him, because, you know, it's nice, I'll tell you that. You know, there's obviously that nude costume. It makes the game harder because it takes your defensive things away. I'm sure there'd be loads of playthroughs with this. I don't know if it's on PC. It's on PlayStation. I'm sure if it is, if it's on PC, you know, the mods are coming out, so she'll just be fully naked at some point. That's just the mod community doing their thing. But you know, it is what it is. I mean, what can you do? Either you like it or you don't. You play it or you don't. That's that simple. You know, there was way more controversial games before Stellar Blade, and there'll be more after Stellar Blade. I don't even think Stellar Blade is controversial at all. But, you know, people are making stories and trying to, you know, create something just to talk about that's not even necessary. It doesn't matter that there's jiggle physics. There's jiggle physics in Dead or Alive Volleyball. No one cares about that. Right? Rule of Rose? Rumble Rose is an all-female video game. The jiggle physics in that. No one cared about that. It is what it is, right? I mean, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I'll tell you what. Talking about jiggle physics being offensive, there was wiggle swinging physics in Dante's Inferno. Okay? You fought Satan in Dante's Inferno. It's Christian-based mythology video game, right? You're a crusader. You are in hell trying to escape the seven layers of hell. And you fight Satan. Yeah, Satan's naked. Okay? Satan is swinging and dinging in that game right in the open. I mean, that's probably more offensive than a little jiggle physic in a tight outfit or a bra, you know? I mean, you know, jiggle physics, it is what it is. I'll tell you something. I'll give you a little hint. Upcoming episode, Erotic Games Part 2 is coming. I'm almost done. I'm almost done writing it. Well, not really writing it, but I'm almost done with the games I'm trying to review. I've already played them a while ago, but I wanted to do a little refresh just to get them in my mind, make some notes. So it's coming. It's coming, baby. Part two is coming. People love part one. I get DMs about part one all the time. So part two had to happen. There could even be part three. I mean, to be honest with you, there are more erotic video games than I thought. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that right now. But that's what I've been playing. I got the platinum for Destroy All Humans. I thought it was very good. I mean, the game was good. It was funny, very good. Stupid humor. You know, just fun nonsense game. Don't take yourself too serious. Have a good time with it. Dead Island 2. So far, so good. Hilarious playing with Marlon. Just having a good time with that. Not bad. Helldivers 2. Phenomenal. You already know. And Rise of the Ronin. Knocking out the park so far. I mean, I can't stop playing this game. Soon my wife leaves for work. I do my walk. I come back. I shower. I'm locked in to this game until she comes home. Or the boys come on to play Helldivers. But that's my day. And it's been pretty good so far these past couple of days. Last thing I wanted to mention was, I don't know if I spoke about this or not, but if I did, great. If I didn't, it's new to you, new to me. Fallout TV show, Amazon Prime. There's some debate as whether they should have released them weekly, drawn them all at once. I have become a binge watcher, me and my wife. I wanted to watch Shogun so bad, but I waited. Now they're all out. I don't know if I have the mental strain or strength to do weekly episodes anymore. Game of Thrones broke me, right? But also, it also made work fun because Monday morning we had a crew. Right. And I won't use their real names, but I will. Well, I won't to protect them. I'm being fake names. So we had Shirley. We had Marlon. We had Sharif. We had. Let me see here. Who else was there? I don't remember. Let's say those people. And every Monday morning, we get to work. We put our stuff down. We fix our little day. 9 a.m., we went right to the coffee shop down the block. We spoke about the episode every Monday morning. Right? There were debates. We argued. It was really a great time to be alive, you know? Those things do not happen anymore because things are being released all at once. All episodes, there it is in your face. So it does take away the fun of the anticipation and the conversation, I guess. But also, to wait a week, and especially how these shows end the episode, it just makes you want more. And it worked, right? I don't know if it helps views, doesn't help views, if people wait for all the shows to end and then they see a spike rating. I mean, I'm sure binging, I mean, it helps with ratings, obviously, because now as soon as the last episode airs, they must skyrocket. People wait. People do wait because they can't take it. Or they're doing too much. They don't have time to invest and they wait for the end of the show. I have time to invest. I just don't know if I can do it no more. I mean, right now we're binging Boardwalk Empire. We're on season 4, episode 3. In about a week and a half. So after work, we have dinner, watch the show, shower, bed. That's the routine. And it's been great. It's been great. But Fallout came out. I told Eva, let's watch the first episode. It's based on a video game. She obviously knew that. She goes, oh God, not again. I said, let's just give it a chance. She gave us a chance. We finished it in 2 days. 2 days. 8 episodes. About 8 hours. Boom. Killed it. My mistake was is that I gave her a little bit of a history lesson on Fallout. I didn't go too crazy, but I kind of gave her the idea, not knowing that the show actually would give you an idea of what's happening. So the sad thing is that I can't go spoiler. That's another problem, right? You can't spoil things because you don't know what episode people are on. Now, this was a weekly episode, and this is episode 6. I will talk about it. You would fast forward because I watched episode 6. I'm reviewing it every week. You know, they're all out. I'm done. You could be on episode 1 today. How do I know? So I don't want to spoil it for you. But what I will say, if you're interested in it, is that they do explain, you know, why you're in a vault. They do explain why the world looks like this. So that's good. So if you're not a fan of the video game, you will learn exactly why. What I love, and I think it's better than Last of Us, because The Last of Us is an adaptation of a video game story that they made into a TV show. So you can kind of expect certain things from the game to be played out over the TV show, right? Maybe not everything, but a lot of it, you know? So there were some things in The Last of Us that I knew, you know, and I'm going to spoil something here for you because it's been how long since Last of Us has been out, okay? Yeah, maybe fast forward 2 minutes. So fast forward now. Anybody listening now? Spoiler. I know Ellie and Joel don't die in the first game. So there's nothing that's going to make me nervous. Be like, oh God, they're going to die. My wife had no idea. She was freaking out. You know? Certain characters die in the game. Certain characters don't die in the game. You know, the second game changed everything. The second game was controversial as hell. But I enjoyed it. I loved it. Now they're making season 2 of Last of Us. So season 2 is going to have, guess what? You guessed it. Okay. So not going to be shocking for people who played the game. Will be shocking for people who have not played the game. They will be shocked. But you're just taking an adaptation of a video game, making it into a story. Fallout is not based off any story in Fallout. Again, at least to my knowledge. Okay? It's set in the Fallout universe. So things in Fallout are there. They have, you know, again, not going into spoilers. These are promotional photos. So I'm not going to spoil nothing. Red Rocket is in the game. It's in the show. Not a particular storyline, but it's there. Okay? Wadsworth, the little maid that they made, the companion maid, it's in the game, right? You know, the Brotherhood of Steel, obviously, everyone knows that. They're in the game. They're in a TV show. People get upset. Maybe is it canon or not canon? Because, you know, some of the games have multiple endings and yada, yada, and so forth. I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, you can't take everything, like, too serious. So if there's something that's broken within canon, I mean, if it's crazy, crazy, yeah, then you lose the faithfulness of the show and what they're trying to create. But with little things here and there, it won't aggravate you too much. You know, Nuka-Cola is in the game. It's in the show. The little Pip-Boy, where you get your charisma stats from, specials from, it's in the game. It's there. It's in the TV show. It's there. Hilarious, right? So these things you're expecting to be like, oh, wow, how are they going to do that? It's just right in the open because it's like you're watching someone play a game and this is their storyline, basically, you know? So that's what I liked about Fallout so much. It's how they successfully adapted the entire lore of Fallout and they place another story within that lore. So there'll be lots of Easter eggs to pick out, and nothing is out of the ordinary. I mean, a little bit of a spoiler, a character got injured, let's just say. Okay, what do you do when you get injured in Fallout? What do? Stimpak. Healed. Guess what? TV show? Stimpak. Healed. Don't question it. It's in the game. You don't question it in the game. So don't question it in the TV show. It's there. It's hilarious. Fallout, a lot of the stories in Fallout are pretty sick. Pretty disturbing. Especially some of the vaults. Things you just find in the world. You know, obviously people died. I mean, there's war happening. So some of the stories, some of the gangs, the violence, you know, it has this kind of like happy, colorful tone to it, but it could get real serious real quick. So that's pretty cool how they really created like almost like a game TV show that you're just watching another story set in this universe. That's why I think I like it so much. Walter Giggins, who was in Justified and Deadwood, and you know, this guy's the Shield. This dude is great and everything. You know, the guy Maximus, never saw him before. He did his role good. And Ella Purnell. That's her name. Ella Purnell. First of all, she's British. Doesn't sound British in the show. Has a very nice American accent. The British people do a better American accent than Americans do a British accent. I'm sorry to say. It's true. Did not know she was British till the interview and took me back. It almost floored me, bro. That's how good her accent was. She's in it. She plays the Vault Dweller. And the Vault Dweller, you know, they almost level up within the show. So you go from typical doofy Vault Dweller to doing your thing and surviving in the universe. Just really well done. Walter Giggins plays the ghoul. He's one of my favorite characters. My sister Katie, who has never, ever seen a Fallout game or watched me play a Fallout game, texted me and called me. She binge-watched the show in a day. So clearly she was off that day. Watched all of them back to back to back. Absolutely loved the show. This is a person who doesn't know about the show, loved the show. Also, though, better than Last of Us. So I would love to do an episode about best or worst adaptations from film to game or game to film, whatever. That'd be an episode in the future. I'll tell you that right now. But this right now is my number one. I have to think and go back and look at everything. But in this episode, this podcast, let's just say this is number one for me. You know, very, very well done. Production level was good. Story was good. Acting was good. And the things that you saw in the TV show that are in the game, phenomenal. Really, 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 really well done. So kudos to Fallout. So that's pretty much all I've been playing and what I've been watching. I'm going to hope to continue to keep doing Rise of the Ronin and obviously Dead Island 2 and Helldivers. We're still in it to win it. Still doing Boardwalk Empire. As soon as that's done, I'm going to hit Shogun because I'm excited for that. Because right now, I'm in it to win it in Japanese culture. Okay, I just had ramen noodles yesterday. All right. And I had a pork bun. If that's not Japanese, I don't know. But I went to a Japanese restaurant around the corner. That's what I got. So I can eat it because it's soft. That's what I had. Not yesterday, the other day. So, you know, I really want to watch Shogun now that I'm in this. I might even jump into Noah after this. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'm just heavily involved in Rise of the Ronin right now. So that's about it. That's the updates, boys. There's nothing else to say. You know, I think we'll cut it from here. So if you listened, thank you very much. You can subscribe to the show from Spotify. You can follow us, download all the catalog. Also, you can join the Discord in there. There's monthly challenges. all types of sections to join in there. It's a little confusing at first, but once you get the hang of it, it's pretty fun. It's a good time. And that's it for the episode. So thank you for listening. Peace out.